And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends this signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, welcome back. We are at the bottom half of the 3 o'clock hour, and we've been talking for the last few minutes about number two on the triple dipper, the border madness and the things that are happening at our southern border, which you have to look at and go, do we even have a border right now? Well, we know we do in Texas because what they've been doing the last few days has been pretty epic. But I'll tell you, our own U.S. delegation has been very outspoken on this, with the exception of our one Democrat, Terry Sewell. But the voice that may be the loudest in our entire delegation right now has been our U.S. Senator, Katie Britt, who I found a video of a press conference she did last week, aired part of it on Friday. And I thought, man, I just got to see if she can come on the show. So without further ado, I am proud to bring on once again U.S. Senator Katie Britt. How are you doing, Senator?
Well, Phil, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for covering this important issue. I don't think it is obviously getting enough attention in the mainstream media, but are we surprised? No. And I think we've got to continue to talk about it, talk loud, and really demand solutions from the Biden administration.
Well, I agree. In fact, it's a little galling. It appears the Biden administration is, on the one hand, fighting back against the most recent court ruling that enjoined their ability to just do street releases, while at the same time claiming credit for the numbers going down the last couple of days because of the injunction by the court. But Senator, you've been down there multiple times. In fact, one of the things that really struck me was you opened up that press conference last week by talking about how many times you've been down there and how few times the president has been down there.
That's right, Phil. Look, this is and must be a top priority for our nation's leaders. We have to seal and secure the border, and I believe that unless you go and you see it and you ask for the real unvarnished truth from our courageous Border Patrol agents, from the people that are actually dealing with this every single day, then we can't do our job. So I actually went the first 2 months, I went three different times, which is in stark contrast to our president, who in 2 years has only gone for 3 hours. And he did not ask for the real unvarnished truth. He actually got a cleaned up version of what was happening. I will tell you, when you see the men and women on the front lines that are working to keep our border safe and therefore the American people safe, you know that we are dealing with a humanitarian and a national security crisis that we have never before seen. You know that we have to finish building the wall. We have to make sure that we are putting up the proper structures, using the proper technology to drive these people to our ports of entry, which they refuse to do. And in fact, Phil, when I was down there, I saw pieces of the wall laying on the ground. We were told in other places by the courageous men and women there in Texas that they actually had asked if they could purchase the walls that he was storing places, paying to store, by the way, the Biden administration, that they could purchase them back from the government and put them up themselves. And the Biden administration said no. So these are border wall pieces that we have paid for to keep our country safe. And Biden is prioritizing, once again, other people before he is the American citizens.
Well, and I agree with you completely. And I think that's been one of the most unsung pieces of this is the fact that the border wall construction, all the materials that were already paid for by the U.S. Citizens laying there in the dirt. But the other thing that really struck me was, you know, the question of state sovereignty. At times, there will be a 10th Amendment call by a state to have to do what the federal government will not or cannot. And we're watching places like Texas and Arizona doing things like putting up their own border wall and taking action like Governor Abbott's been doing with his Operation Lone Star. And then they get called out by the federal government for doing what the federal government will not. That's amazing to me.
Hey, and Phil, let me tell you, Operation Lone Star, I have talked to those men and women firsthand, and what they're doing is truly incredible. So we have 2,000 miles of the border between the United States and Mexico. Now, 1,200 of those miles are in Texas. Now, I've been to two different places in Texas. I have yet to have the opportunity to be on the ground in Arizona, but have been in California. The stark contrast between the way that California handles this versus Texas, it is night and day.
You'll figure.
So here you have Governor Abbott Right, Governor Abbott is working. He is using cargo containers to try to build his own wall. His sheriffs, obviously each county kind of handles it a little bit differently, but he has his patrol, he has the Texas Department of Public Safety, his National Guard, all working hand in glove to protect his people. And then you go to California, and their law enforcement officers are actually penalized and could be pursued criminally if they are seen as interfering or participating in anything that has a nexus to someone crossing the border. So you want to know why all of that fentanyl is coming across the border in a legal port of entry there in San Diego? It is because California has tied the hands of its law enforcement officers. I really believe that we have to do more, and I think Governor Abbott and Texas are setting the bar, and that's what we should be doing all the way across the border.
Well, and what you just described is how important good leadership is. I mean, you literally just described two states with the same problem on the border of the same country, and both of them handling it completely differently, and it's a issue of leadership, which we are also seeing a crisis of leadership right now in D.C. on this very issue. To me, leadership winds up transcending all of it. You could take the same situation and have a different result if you have the right leadership in place.
That's right. And you have nailed it. And let's talk about Mayorkas, because you just used the word crisis. When I had him in front of the Homeland Security Subcommittee for Appropriations, and I want you to watch this exchange, I asked him if we had a crisis on our southern border. Now, you and I both know we did. We have had over 6 million people, 6.3 million people come across our border since Joe Biden has taken office. So 5 million of those have come through ports of entry, 1.3 million of those have been gotaways, and that is prior to the end of Title 42. And when I ask him, do we have a crisis, talking about the number of people, talking about the human trafficking, because, Phil, I have talked to these men and women, they owe the drug cartels more money. The drug cartels know exactly where they're going. They have to continue to pay them. They are not living the American dream. They become indentured servants, and criminals in Mexico are getting rich over it. When you look at the fentanyl, it is the leading cause of death between the ages of 18 and 45 in this nation. And we have a crisis that is affecting every community, every school. You can keep going. We can talk about the number of terrorists coming over our border, which we had 100 known terrorists that were caught at the border last fiscal year alone. And Mayorkas would not call it a crisis. I then went through every single place in the entire president's budget where they called it a crisis. We have a crisis of missing indigenous people. We have a crisis of pedestrian safety. We have a climate crisis, and so on and so on. And I told him, look, my point is not to undermine the seriousness of any of these issues. My point is to say, when President Biden thinks that there is a crisis, he is willing to call it. But the truth is, he is allowing Americans to be treated as second-class citizens, and he is putting the security and the strength of our communities at risk each and every day that he doesn't go do his job and secure the border.
Well, it's amazing, too. And it's almost like an arrogance attached to it. And it's so frustrating to watch. And, of course, you're right there in the thick of things, having him in front of your subcommittee. And I got to ask, and it may not be a question you can even answer, but I hear the word impeachment used several times, and more often than not, it's tied to Mayorkas. So do we see anything here that says there will be some measure of full accountability, even to the point of articles of impeachment that have an opportunity to move and be considered? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Is that even out there?
You know, I know that we have definitely heard rumblings of that, particularly several months ago. I am sure as Title 42 and the expiration of that and the remainder of this plays out, you will hear that continue again. As you well know, obviously, that would start in the House, and then it would be our job here on the Senate to adjudicate that. I will say people want more. People want true leadership, and they are not seeing it from Mayorkas, and they are not seeing it from President Biden. I want to make sure that your listeners understand how intentional this is. Secretary Mayorkas got out on his press conference the other day and said, Congress just hasn't properly funded this. And that could not be further from the truth. And if you look at the timeline. So January 26th, they come out, President Biden says, we're ending the national health emergency, and Title 42 will expire on May 11th. He then comes out with his own budget on March 9th, where the only agency department to get the decrease was the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure your listeners know that is not just the border. That's TSA, that's Coast Guard, that's FEMA, that's everything to do with keeping Americans safe. And I think that that is that in and of itself. We got a 1% decrease where there he increased EPA 19%. So there's one thing, if we're working hard to figure out how are we going to streamline the budget, which we must do, it's another thing when you're increasing EPA 19%. And I think Americans have to say enough is enough. Stop putting our safety and security behind all of your left-wing policies and agenda.
Oh, well, so perfectly said. And the reality is it is intentional. You used the word early in that part of your discussion. It is intentional. There's no way that this is just now a we don't want to be Trump type movement. This is not just a somewhat of a policy that's not going as well as we thought it would go. It's an intentional act at this point. And I try to break it down into a way that I can put a mental image in my mind. But this level of trafficking that we've seen across the border, literally the United States has increased its population by 2% just since Biden took office, only on illegals. 2% of the population is now here illegally. And when you label it like that, it just takes on this kind of almost burdensome sense. But real quickly, Senator, we have about a minute and a half here, or 2 minutes maybe, and you pointed out so clearly in your comments last week that it's not just what it's doing to America. The humanitarian toll on the people that believe they've got an open door because they've been lured here with Biden's carrots is having an incredibly negative effect upon the humanitarian aspects of people trying to migrate to the United States.
I could not agree more. Listen, President Biden won't acknowledge the truth of what's happening at our border, but we know it. We know it is a humanitarian and a national security crisis. And I'll tell you who else knows the truth. The cartels and the coyotes know the truth because they are benefiting to the tune of billions of dollars. The moms and dads who have lost children to fentanyl poisoning, Phil, they know the truth. The girls and the women who have been abused by the cartels, they know the truth. They had to live the truth. And American people can see it. We can see the truth playing out in front of our eyes. And the truth is that we don't just have a crisis at our border, but we have a catastrophe with a humanitarian and a national security implications that are tremendous.
Well, Senator, I really appreciate you making some time. And y'all made time on short notice. I was just in touch with Sean Ross of your office just Friday, and here you are on Monday. And I thank you for that. And stay on top of this.
This is important.
Oh, it is.
We've got to keep talking about it. We've got to hold his feet to the fire on this. We do not have the majority in the Senate, but by gosh, we can be loud, we can be direct, and we can make sure that the American people hold President Biden accountable. That's what we must do.
All right. Senator Katie Britt, a member of our U.S. delegation, we appreciate your time, and we'll be in touch more on this as it goes along.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, listen, first of all, I am just so glad to have she and Senator Tuberville have both been nailing this issue, like nailing it to the wall, and not just with rhetoric. They've been slamming the administration in committee hearings. And, you know, in terms of policy, you've got Tuberville out there who there's no generals getting promoted right now because he's put a block on all promotions for the time being because of abortion policies being put out by the DOD. And I'm just telling you, folks, at this particular moment, we have the chair of the House Armed Services Committee is one of our congressmen, Mike Rogers. We have one of the major chairs of a subcommittee on appropriations is Robert Aderholt from here. And we got a member of the Freedom Caucus, Barry Moore. We've got, the one of the leaders in the House is Gary Palmer. And then you've got, on top of that, you've got Dale Strong and Jerry Carl both making waves. And then you get into our Senate delegation. I'm just telling you, we're in a better, more vocal position right now than we've been as a state in quite some time, and I take heart in that. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. We'll wrap up this border madness section here, and then going to the top of the hour, Twinkle Kavanaugh, president of the Alabama Public Service Commission, the group that does things like determining your rates for your power bill. Yeah, we're going to talk about that and ESG. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a caller on the line, Jeff Rowe from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil.
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Did Charlene tell you that I texted her a happy Mother's Day yesterday?
She did. She says, who is Jeff? Oh, wait, that's Jeff from Indiana. Says she was okay then.
Yeah. I told her that you all are empty nesters, but then she'll always have you to raise.
Yes, she does. I am her big child. That's right.
She'll never be completely childless.
Did y'all have a good weekend?
I had a real good weekend. Everything went pretty good, except for having to work Sundays, which I hate, but that's how it goes.
You drive on Sundays?
Oh, yeah, every Sunday.
I did not know that.
Sunday's my Monday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a good deal, but that's the way the ball bounces in this outfit.
Well, all right. Well, what's on your mind about the show today? What are you thinking?
Hey, with everybody coming here and proclaiming that they need sanctuary from all the oppressive places they're coming from, why don't we spring into action and go put down all these governments oppressing all these people and everything? I mean, we're helping Ukraine out so much and everything from trying to get them from being oppressed by Russia. Why don't we just go down and take over Nicaragua and all these South American countries where most of these people are coming from?
So you just basically want to make
money ahead.
You just want to go ahead and make Venezuela the 51st state, is what you're telling me.
Well, we're getting the population just as well. I mean, if we're going to do it, we might as well get the fruits of the country, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah. First of all, I don't think we want them. and secondly, you know what's crazy, too, about this thing about declaring asylum? And the Biden administration finally woke up, and they put back in place what's called Title 8. And it basically Title 8 requires that if you're going to claim asylum – but you pass through three other countries to do it, you have to go back to the very first one whose borders you crossed and declare it there. Because if you want asylum, what you're really saying is, I need help, I need out. Well, you don't pass through three other countries on the way to the only one you want to declare asylum in. It doesn't work that way.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, all those countries are oppressive as well, Phil, don't you know? I mean, there's people coming from everywhere, so they're all oppressive places except for the United States, which is a racist, homophobic country, you know? I mean, that's why everybody's coming here for, apparently.
This is Mean Jeff today. I got Mean Jeff on the phone.
Oh, no, no, no. This is Jeff, the truthful Jeff, I think. Can you take the truth, man?
I don't know, man. You can't handle the truth. You know, I tell you,
the truth.
It's unreal, man. But we're gonna watch over the coming days. I'm just glad that court, the attorney general from Florida, got that the mass releases that they were about to start doing enjoined. That slowed some things down. And then Texas is like, they're on it right now. Texas has got their own Texas Tactical Border Force, and they are actually physically stopping people from crossing over. And you can tell from the faces of the people who are coming across the Rio Grande, they're looking like they can't believe somebody saying no because they were told it was an open door.
Well, the thing about it is, though, Phil, when did the Biden administration, or Biden cacristocracy, I'm sorry, ever follow the law? They haven't did it so far, so why should they start doing it now? They can just thumb their nose at these courts and everything because they have the Justice Department on their side, and they're the ones who enforce these laws. So
well,
you don't enforce laws, why would you follow any?
I think we got a ways to go on it, brother. But, hey, man, we're up against the break. You be safe on the road, all right?
Thank you, Phil. Have a good one.
See you, bud. All right. What an amazing audience we have, including people like Jeff from Indiana. All right. I got plenty of text messages. We'll get to them. But coming up next, we're switching gears, talking about ESG in your power bill. We'll have Twinkle Cavanaugh, president of the Alabama Public Service Commission, and we'll talk about it. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.